Yeah, Venus and Mars are all right, but there is something floating outside of Mars. We'll tell you about that coming up in just a second. And tomorrow night, assuming that we don't run into the apocalypse between now and then, the way some people are talking these days, The Man from the Train, Discovering America's Most Elusive Serial Killer. That's coming up tomorrow night when I host on Coast to Coast. And the first hour, we'll talk about Halloween in Salem, Massachusetts, with the people that celebrated there. If you missed the show earlier, we were talking with Michael Gillen about the about life as we know it is ending, that our lives and the way we'll be affected by all sorts of different technologies, it's happening. The frontiers of science are going to change everything. If you missed it because you were either listening to or you were at that Dodgers game, then you got to go back and listen to it. It was great. First 2 hours tonight of Coast to Coast. And if you don't have that capability, well, that's why you got to get Coast Insider, so that you can listen to your favorite Coast to Coast shows and hosts anytime you want at coasttocoastam.com. You will find out more. And we'll find out where you're going to take us coming up next for Open Lines. On Coast to Coast AM, in for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. So, no one's exactly sure what it is, but thank God there are people who are following these sorts of things. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the story about the cloud that is drifting. It's not big, but it's visible around Mars, and nobody has an explanation for it. It's among many of the mysteries at coasttocoastam.com and many of the topics we may get to here in this last hour when we're doing open lines. But I don't know, maybe none of those. Let's go to Rick in Bowling Green on Coast to Coast. Rick?
Hello, Ian. How are you?
Good. I'm a big fan of Bowling Green. Go Hilltoppers.
Oh, it's a great town. Oh, yeah. It's I'm paving roads tonight.
So are you really?
I've listened to you for so long. I started out listening to Art Bell, and I've tried to call in a couple of hundred times, and this is the first time I've gotten through. This is such a great privilege. If I can, Ian, I would like to share something about the Bible. And there's a great truth that we need to realize in any discipline. Any discipline that you study, whether it be science, whether it be the Bible, for instance, you can't just take a sip. If you go to the well of knowledge, you need to take a big drink. And the Bible is something to be studied and pondered over. All three of the monotheistic religions from the Middle East began their roots with the Bible, including the Quran. The Quran has deep roots in the Old Testament.
And the New Testament. Yeah, I mean the story of the prophet Jesus in the Quran is significant. It's a big portion of the Quran.
That's right. And even the story of the floods, the story of Jesus in the Quran, all of that validates, not counting the historical values, the historical truths, you know, that line up with so many of the stories in the Bible. Many of the critics don't believe that it's even possible for Daniel to be real, because the historical value of the book of Daniel is so accurate. And if it hadn't been found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, they would, you know, people would have said, well, it was impossible for Daniel to know as much of the future as he did. But the truths, when you look at the truths there and you look at the big picture, the heart, the grace of the Old Testament and the New Testament, this has done so much for humanity. You know,
I agree.
When we stray away from that, and people like to take two or three verses and
terrible.
A whole book, or, you know, and they'll.
It's called proof texting, and it's there's an old saying. I've said it before on Coast to Coast, but it's one of the first things I learned in seminary, was that some people rely on scripture like a drunk leans on a lamppost, not so much for illumination, but for support. And I think it's the illumination part that I always go for, not the support. I like it when I find new things that make me think differently. I'll tell you something interesting about the Quran. I don't know if you know, if this, it sounds like you're a learned guy, but I did a, I wrote an article about true crime texts. I'm interested in how true crime stories are told. And I was interested in how many murder stories there are in the Bible. And that the basis for true crime, as we know it today, the popular genre on any platform, that the basis for that, it starts in the Bible. And that these true crime stories really are, these murder stories are have the same effect. They're teaching us a lesson, which is what these murder stories still do. What I found was when I looked at the way stories were told in the Quran, they actually used the word murder with regard to Jesus. Whereas the Bible says, you know, in the Greek portion of the Bible, in the New Testament, the Greek word says kill. But actually the word that's often used, the Arabic word, is that Jesus was murdered. And I find that a very interesting distinction that Muslims see that, and that's the way they look at it, that he was murdered. And I don't think murder comes up a lot when we think about it in a Judeo-Christian context, but I'm just throwing that out to you. I don't know if they find that interesting or not, but I did.
Do you think that corporate, I want to be careful how I say this, do you think that corporate Christianity has, or Christianity for hire, so to speak, where people are wanting to build legacies, do you think that has hurt us and gotten us away from the central message of the Bible in a whole?
I think your question answers it, you know, and I think that what we, you know, I think anytime there's always been the big difference of shooting a bullet in the name of God or taking a bullet in the name of God. And I'm in the taking the bullet camp. I'll take the bullet in protecting somebody else. I'm not, you know, people go way far out of their way to create these structures where they're shooting people or killing other people in the name of God. And I that's where I draw the line. You enjoyed the conversation, though, Rick, and you got a great town. I'll let you get back to work, too. But last time I was in Bowling Green, actually, they were doing road work. I was on my way to the airport in Nashville, and I came across that. Let me get to Charles in Portland, Oregon, on Coast to Coast. Charles?
Ian, good morning. How are you today?
Good. It's open lines. You take us anywhere.
Well, let me first start by saying I've also been a listener, just like Rick, since the Coast to Coast with the Art Bell days. And you are my absolute favorite Art Bell second.
bench warmer. I'm okay with that.
Well, I mean, nobody can replace the man, but you can.
No, I get that.
Anybody that's lined up on it. But,
well, George does a great job. I'm having a good time. Where do you want to take us?
Just what you said a minute ago, difference between murder and kill. That's fascinating. That could be thought that lives with me for weeks.
Isn't that just and the fact that it's Islam where they say murder, that Jesus was murdered.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It really is. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to take us back to the Bible. I was telling the screener I'm for lack of a better term, a hardcore atheist and everything, but I believe in seeing wisdom where you find it. I think there's a whole lot of wisdom in the Bible, and if you read it as a science text, I don't see much value. But if you look at it as how people were thinking 2,000, 4,000 years ago, it's fascinating. I mean, you read Genesis, and if you actually go back and look for, you know, the Garden of Eden, you're going to be disappointed. But if you look at it as, you know, what separates humans from the animals, the knowledge of good and evil, consciousness, self-reflection, and how people were dealing with that fundamental truth back then. And, you know, they were putting their own poetry behind it, but they were saying, this is what separates humans from animals, and how, you know, how do you balance good and evil once you understand it? And, you know, a cougar doesn't understand good and evil when it eats something. You know, it only does what it does, and an animal does what it does instinctually, but as soon as you're self-reflective, you're human.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I think this is, and I probably have friends, there's a lot of A lot of people who I know who go to church to hide from God because they think like roof over their head in a church is something that it's like a, you know, like a screen, like a, some sort of force field that's going to protect them. And outside of a church, I think they're atheists. They walk around like, you know, and I think always exploring and thinking is, but it's better to be bold about what you are and what you believe in and looking for value. And I'm glad you jumped into the conversation because that's valuable.
Well, thank you. And, Nietzsche said, philosophize with a hammer.
Yep.
And I think that's absolutely the best advice. I mean, break everything you can think of and what stands up afterwards is worth having.
I love that. Thank you. That's great. Appreciate that. Have a great night. In fact, bear with me while I share one piece of wisdom. Proverbs is always my favorite. A wife of noble character. Who can find? I always love that structure because it sounds like it was translated from Yiddish. A wife of noble character. Who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. I love that. All right. So the Bible's, and the Bible, by the way, Proverbs warns people against table drinking, which is also one of those handy things that some people have to learn the hard way. I'm not a drinker, but I hang around with a lot of drinkers. Table drinking does not make sense. And the Bible was way ahead on that one. All right. Let me go to Robert, who's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, on Coast to Coast AM. Robert?
Hi, Ian. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Open lines. Where do you want to go?
I'll stick with the Bible, probably. That's all my favorite subject.
Bible for 600. Go ahead.
I'll take it for 1,000. I could use it. But I will say the same thing that your last couple callers did. I've called a lot of times. This is the first time I ever got through Coast to Coast. And I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
But you said something earlier, and I never heard it put that way, and I thought, that's the way I look at the Bible. You said, I don't look at it, read it, or study it for the facts. They study it for the truth. And I was like,
there you go.
Really like the way he put that.
That's exactly right. I just don't know any simpler than that. I think that's true for everything. Like, it's even true for, you know, for journalism, I think that journalists get things wrong every day. But if we get hung up on like, uh-oh, got something wrong. Uh-oh, he said that person. Uh-oh. If we do that, we miss truths of what's happening. And I think it's much more important to focus on the truths of what's happening around us all the time than get, you know, distracted by whether or not something for the moment is a fact.
Yep. I totally agree with that. Oh, and forget, I have to tell you, I'm going to take this rudely, but Gomez was on the Addams Family, not the Munsters.
Oh, did he say Munsters? And I agreed with him? Oh, yeah. No, I grew up on a collection of Addams Family books from Charles Addams, the original cartoonist. So I can't believe that slipped by me, but you're exactly right. And I'm glad we get that correction in there. See, but the truth of it's still there. Gomez was still a great character. Just we got the fact wrong when I said he was on the Munsters. All right. Very good. Thank you. Have a great night. Let's get to funny. Joe is in Monterey, California on Coast to Coast AM. Joe.
Good evening, pundit. How you doing?
Doing very well. Open lines, where do you want to go?
Yes, I wish you would change it to open minds instead of open lines, but that's okay. Artificial intelligence.
Okay.
We're consumed about what we do with it and where it's going, but we never considered that maybe extraterrestrials had or is a victim of their own artificial intelligence. And it may have progressed beyond our understanding of concepts. I'm still investigating this possibility, by the way.
And, How do you do that? How do you investigate that?
Okay. You know what an experiencer is?
Yeah.
Okay. And a contactee?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's how I investigate as far as validating or vetting what I come up to or what kind of information I get, because I have to check out everything, at least from two different sources, and sure. from other and from friends as well that may be knowledgeable in this area.
I think it's a very compelling idea that maybe if we're worried on this planet that artificial intelligence could overrun us and deprive us of our humanity and eventually make us into something other than what we are, this subservient to some technology. If that could happen here, that we're worried about, why don't we think it could happen somewhere else on another? I think it's actually a really great idea for a movie. I think that's really interesting.
You might want to consider, what if it did happen somewhere else and it came here and now it's running its game on us and we're building the very thing that it is?
I'm game. I'm in. Great. Interesting. Cool. I'll think about that. I won't think about it before I go to bed tonight or I won't sleep, but I'll think about it over a cup of coffee tomorrow. Let me go to Tom, who's in the Bronx on Coast to Coast. Tom?
Yes, how are you? I'd like to say that the cloud that's going around Mars.
Yep.
There's a good possibility that every once in a while, maybe they're like volcanoes, like old volcanoes on Mars, and maybe they start to fire up like a boiler, and maybe it throws off, almost creating like a temporary atmosphere maybe that's trying to develop on Mars, and these volcanoes may go cold and it never succeeds in creating a full atmosphere.
Interesting.
There's a good possibility.
I totally and completely accept that as a possibility. That's a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. Let me go to Walt, who's in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card Hello. Line before the bottom of the hour. Walt?
Hello, PhD, and it's nice to talk to you once again.
Thank you.
Why, I told Donna I wanted to say something briefly about the border, but you started talking about the Bible, and I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, but I've subsequently become an atheist, agnostic, and so I don't know what to say to you, really.
Well, I wasn't trying to hijack the show that way, but it was just, you know, a couple callers mentioned something, and next thing you know, I'm jawing away. But it's the space I live in. I live in that space during the week, so it kind of bleeds through on the air, I'm afraid.
Ian, you sort of offended me when you said that, you know, people come out of church and then they act like an atheist. And the reason I'm an atheist is because I can't possibly believe in a God that's a hypocrite, whether you're talking about Yahweh, Jehovah, or Allah, or all the other gods. You know, in the Bible, you know, how can I possibly believe in Yahweh, Jehovah, when he kills children by the thousands, whether you're talking about Passover, where he sends the angel of death to kill the firstborn Egyptians, or the great flood, or Sodom and Gomorrah? There were undoubtedly innocent children killed there. So, I mean, how can I possibly believe in a God like that?
So, you know, I guess part of that, again, comes down to how much are we going to invest in a particular narrative as being the defining story. So I accept what you're saying, and I think, don't get my point wrong about atheists. I know you're gently chiding me on the offending part, but let me just say, when I say atheist, I really mean that in the strictest sense. I think a lot of people live their life like there's no God, and then when they go to they go to church somehow to hedge their bets, and they do that, but they never actually, it doesn't actually make a change in what they do, is all I mean. And so, you know, everybody puts their faith in something. Let me just put it that way. Well, everybody puts their faith in something. You put your faith in money, you put your faith in sex, you put your faith in cars, that everything, these things are going to make you happy. And, or some people put their faith in having the perfect body, or that they're going to have the perfect career. And that's how they structure their life around that. That's really what their God, little g, becomes. And that's perfectly fine. I mean, that's freedom. People will do that. I don't see anything wrong with that. It's just not how I choose to do it. And then we'll just leave it there. So another half hour. Hey, gosh darn it, we're almost done. We'll get to open lines coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. That'll remind me of that first hour coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. talking about the Salem witch trials and what's going on in Salem on Halloween. Have you seen the Haunting of Hill House on Netflix? It's great. People who follow me on Twitter at Deacon Punnett, they know I've been praising the show since I started watching it. I finished it earlier, 10 days ago or so. It's just one of the best scripts for a 10 episode Netflix series. It's terrific. And if you like something kind of chilly, and that might be kind of fun on a Saturday night or coming up on Halloween night, take a look at that. You can, binge that. They take you 10 hours, but it'll be worth it. The Haunting of Hill House. It's really that good. Stephen King has been, lauding it, and others too. It deserves not just contention in terms of being a great show. I mean, seriously, like Emmy contention for several of the actors that are in it. I hope you get a chance to watch it. All right. Open lines, though, could take us anywhere, including the haunted house video the haunted pot shop video that we put up earlier on coasttocoastam.com, and or that floating cloud around Mars. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Wherever you want to go, here's your chance next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. It's Open Lines on Coast to Coast, and by the way, thanks for letting me come on and play again. It's always fun when I get to come on and host, and coming up tomorrow night, we'll do it again. Melissa is in South Carolina on Coast to Coast AM. Melissa, where do you want to take us?
Hello. I have a question about an Encyclopedia Britannica edition that I bought, and it's either the last or the second to the last, but I first want to ask, are you in Manhattan, Kansas now?
Not yet. Thank you for asking. Okay. I'll be there soon. I'm still packing up boxes. I'm still in Phoenix for the time being, but I'm getting there.
Okay. I moved from Mission Hills, Kansas to South Carolina. And so I know where you're going, and I hope they treat you well.
Well, it's funny. I have a property in Beaufort, South Carolina. No, I love that area. I don't get there very often, but one of these days I'll enjoy it.
I'm on Hilton Head.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we're neighbors. Okay. Yep. Well, a previous caller brought up something about, I think he got it off a website, where he mentioned that they called Jesus like an imaginary figure or a mythical figure, and then they went into Muhammad.
It was Alexis. They asked Alexis.
Yes.
That's okay. What it was. Yeah, and that's what I hadn't heard that myself, but that's what he reported. Alexis said.
All right. I forgot that part, but yes, he did say that. And so immediately it triggered in my brain. I bought this perfect set of Encyclopedia Britannica from the Church Mouse, a church store. And I was so excited. And when I got it home, I opened it up. I might have been the first person to ever open it. And I opened the first part, the first introductory part. And it was dedicated to Queen Elizabeth and Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
And then if you haven't seen this, you would probably be intrigued by it. So then it explained that this was a new format for Encyclopedia Britannica, and they created the alphabetical volumes, and they chose what to put it at length in that part, and then they indexed the other selections at their discretion. And so when you look up Jesus in this edition of Encyclopedia Britannica, it has just a few little paragraphs, and it calls him a mythical figure or someone who might have lived during a certain time period. And then it references where to look in the index for more information. And then if you turn to Islam, it is like page after page after page in the regular section. And so do you know anything about it?
No, that's very interesting. That's very compelling. I wish I could look over your shoulder while you're doing that.
It's in a box. They're in boxes, and I just kind of put them away, and I kind of feel like they're not really good to have in my house.
You don't seem to realize. Here's what's interesting to me too is the idea that, I mean, like as you said, I know they're still printing. They must still be printing a version of the No. Are they done completely? They don't print anything.
Yeah, this was either the last or the second to the last. And so I was so excited to buy it. I gave them hundreds of dollars. And but when I got it home and saw that, and so I started looking up things, and I thought, who decided to make it this way? And so if you could find out, I mean, if you could do homework on
it. I'll take a look at that. I'm very intrigued by that idea. So that'll have to wait maybe tomorrow night. If I can figure out something between now and tomorrow night, I will, and I appreciate that, and I'll get to it. If I do, it'll be in the first hour tomorrow night, and otherwise, I'm not sure. I think I'll be back on again in Thanksgiving, so it may have to wait a while, but let me see what I can do. But thank you. That was really, it's really very interesting. Let me go to Karen, who is in Alaska on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Karen.
Hi. This may fit in with what she was just saying, and it definitely ties in with last night. There was some guests, and the show was shorter. First of all, I wanted to say you are by far my favorite of Coast to Coast and the best of George, but you don't seem to be afraid of controversial subjects.
It comes with age.
I love it because everybody else is so, you know, politically correct. Oh, we can't talk about it, or they just do the
Anyway. Yeah, you know, I guess it's funny because I should listen more. Maybe I'm out of step. Maybe I should be more
flexible. We need you.
Well, you're nice to say that. I'll try.
Well, what I wanted to change the subject to, and like I said, it may go along with what she was saying. And I'll tell you a few things, and I'll get off the air, and everybody else can put in their 2 cents worth. The Mandela effect. First of all, you probably heard about it. There's a million videos
false memory
on YouTube. Yeah, they say false memories. Everybody in the world remembers it one way, and then suddenly it's not. And last night, the example they gave was, I believe it was Isaiah 11:6 in the Bible, the wolf and the lamb, versus the way we grew up hearing about the lion and the lamb. But a couple other examples, and it's in any Bible you can find. Except, guess what? I got a catalog in the mail today. And somebody had a prayer, because he was saying last night that they had also changed the Lord's Prayer. And maybe because the catalog print, like buy this, I don't know, throw or comforter or poster, I don't remember what it was. But anyway, it was the way we remembered it. So, Luke, I am your father. Now, if you look at the movie, it says, no, I am your father. The things that have changed. Life was like a box of chocolates. You watch that movie now, Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Sally Field, you remember when she said, you really like me, you like me, or something?
Right.
Now they're saying, if you watch it now, it says, she says, you really like me now. Okay? That's the change.
Interesting.
When she was saying the encyclopedia, how you have a couple paragraphs about Jesus and pages of Muhammad. Last night, and I agree with this, it's like I said, I've been doing the research for a couple, year and a half maybe. So they've been saying that CERN, maybe that they said something about their goal was to make a, I don't know, portal into another dimension. They were releasing demons into our... they were doing satanic rituals outside that place. And I'm wondering if maybe that's why they're diminishing Jesus now, and Muhammad's a biggie, because we all know what he does, you know, the things he believes in them anyway.
Stop right there. So don't be a victim of the Mandela effect, as you talk about it, because...
Keep me on all night, and there's more.
But here's what I'm proposing to you, though. The thing I mentioned to you about Islam and about Mandela and about Muhammad is that what we often do, and I think you're getting to this, and this is a completely fair point, is that we rely on other people to give us our memory. And so we think we heard something. We think we remember it away until we hear somebody else, and then somehow we insert their memory into ours. And whatever we may have held, we might have originally thought of the line the way it was, you know, but then more people repeat it, and that's the only way that, that they can hear it. So I think the Mandela effect is very interesting. I think it's compelling. Sorry, I missed that show. You brought up great examples. I will say, when it comes to Bible translation, just remember this, you can't do a perfect translation into English from Hebrew and Greek, not from that era Hebrew and not that era Greek. It's impossible to do a perfect translation. There will always be changes. And some of them are just as simple ones. Some of them are just, you know, pronouns, and people insert the name of the person that was talking because it's easier to follow the story, but you are changing it, you know, just by dropping a pronoun and putting a person's name in. But others are much trickier. because there are verbs that literally don't exist anymore. And so we have to find an equivalent for them. Faithing was a verb for a long time. I am faithing. And we just don't use that terminology. So, you know, the fact that translations keep changing, that's great. That's the way it ought to be. I hope not for politically correct purposes, but because it's just a matter of getting it correct, which I think is more interesting. All right, so let me go to Marty, who is in Tulsa, in the time we have left on Coast to Coast AM. Marty?
Ian, this is a pleasure. I'm honored. First, I've ever tried to call in to Coast. I've been listening, like others, for years and years. I had to hit the redial button about 14 times, but I was surprised to be able to get on.
Yeah, well, you did great.
I had, and it's nice, by the way, to hear you back on Coast once in a while. I had bought you Disappeared Forever a while back.
So did I.
Yeah, well, they needed you. Hey, in discussing with a couple of gentlemen earlier about the Bible, yeah, about 30 minutes ago or so, you had talked about how Jesus is depicted as being murdered in the Quran, but not in the Bible. And I think you, as a seminary student, I'm a minister. I've studied in a couple of different Bible colleges, and it says very clearly in Scripture that Jesus, no one could take his life. He said that he laid it down willfully. He laid it down voluntarily. I think that's why the Bible doesn't ever mention Jesus as being murdered, because of course he spoke of how that if he wanted to, he could have 12 legions of angels that would come and they would help him to escape the death that he voluntarily laid his life down for. I'd like to hear you comment on that, and I'll take comments off the air.
No, don't go anywhere. I think it's fair. Let me just say, it's not a matter of just how the Quran depicted it. In the Quran, it really is just, I'm doing essentially a word study, right? And so I'm looking at the Hebrew, I'm looking at the Greek, and I'm looking at the Arabic for the word murder or kill, which is what is implied in some stories, but they don't actually use the word murder. The only reason I brought it up is I thought it was significant that murder is a very, very, very big deal in Islam. It's, you know, people often talk about Islam and, you know, they make all these characterizations about Muslims, and it's really unfair, because murder, any kind of death, anytime you're killing something, that's a big deal in Islam. And so the fact, really, the elevation is really my point, was that they were elevating the death of Jesus by using the word murder. They weren't pulling a punch. And I think that's cool. As for other things, yeah, no, I think that's an interesting thought. I can't get in the mind of the Bible writers who felt like that was, but I know that sometimes murder is sold softly in the Bible. The word murder exists. There are Hebrew words for murder, but they don't use it all the time. Instead, they use kill, which is more neutral and sounds almost, in some cases, justifiable. Let me go to Alex, who's in New Hampshire, on Coast to Coast to Ham. And I'm afraid I started something, Alex, that probably, I don't know how I got it started, and I'm sorry I'm dragging everybody into this, but I hope it's a conversation you're enjoying anyway. Alex?
I am enjoying it, and thanks for taking my call. I spoke with you a few years ago about a book that I'm interested in, and whenever I hear you with open minds, I'm always thinking along spiritual lines and religious lines. I take spirituality very seriously. I'm interested in a book called The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus.
Yeah. From the turn of the last century, right?
Yeah. I think it was published in 1908. Apparently, it was what they say, according to the introduction in the book, it says it was transcribed, not written, but transcribed by Levi Dowling, who transcribed it from the Akashic Records, also known as God's Book of Remembrance, is another way of putting it. But I'm fascinated with this book because it parallels in many ways the four Gospels in describing the life of Jesus, and also covers like the so-called missing years of his life, the silent years, the last 18 years or so. But it does talk about the different ages, and that's the full title of the book is The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus, The Christ of the Piscean Age. And somewhere, and I'm not an expert on this book, but I'm fascinated with the idea of the return of the Christ. And I'm not a conservative Christian. I'm a liberal Christian, more in line with like Quakers. And I'm fascinated with the idea of the beginning of an age, and when specifically did the Aquarian Age begin? Is there a disagreement about that?
And oh yeah, there is.
Is it possible to determine? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just commenting on your question as you go along. Yes. I think there's a lot of debate about what age we're in, the same argument gets made about modernism and postmodernism and Marxism and neo-Marxism, and you know, all we can ever do is theorize, because we can't. There's no meta data somewhere that we can tap into that explains. Oh no, you tripped into the age of Aquarius in the year blah 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 blah. So. Yeah, I think all we can do is we use that to try to make sense, don't we, of periods of history, and it gives us a frame for what something that just otherwise would be completely amorphic. It's a way for us to try to understand the time period in which we live. I kind of remember this conversation about the Aquarian Bible, because I've looked it up several times, and it's very interesting. I mean, I don't have any argument for or against it. It's just sort of like it sort of exists out there, especially the part about that period of time, the missing so-called years, because there's a lot of different books that address that. I don't know that they all tell the same story, though. Do you?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all those different books. This is the only one I'm familiar with that covers the lost years. I did want to wrap it up quickly. There's a lot I could go into about this book, but I wanted to say I agree with 99% of what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree with something you said earlier to a different caller.
Yep.
Something about the line along the lines of you appreciate the freedom we have. We all worship something, you know, whether it's money or sex or materialism or whether it's God, him or herself, that you really appreciate that freedom. It's just that you choose to do things differently. You choose to worship your way. I appreciate that, but I also think there's a downside. There's a two-sided edge, because you know we have this freedom, but we don't always use it responsibly.
Oh yeah, so
we have a responsibility not just to ourselves individually, but to each other collectively.
I couldn't agree more.
To have some kind of shared values of respect.
Oh yeah. People make a big so. I'll get minorly political here. I think what holds us together as a country. Is I don't fixate on borders. I understand the importance of security. I'm on board with that. But when people talk about it's the border that makes us a country, that's just not true. You know, it's not the border that makes me an Arizonan, right? Or soon to be a Kansan. It's not I didn't cross a border. That exists on a piece of paper. I think what holds us together are our values. And that's what I fear most, that, you know, we could have. There could be more. We need to concentrate on that more. And back to a previous caller who said we ought to teach more philosophy, and philosophy should be where every education starts. I agree with that, but it's those shared values, especially the ones on which the founding fathers based the entire country. I think that's what we need to always focus on. That's the most important thing. Other things are also important, but that is to me the most important thing. Gosh, well, I learned a lot. For people who don't find that conversation interesting, pardon the blather, but gosh darn it, that was great. Thank you so much for jumping in on Open Lines, and look forward to tomorrow night. So the most elusive serial killer in history, and you'll be shocked. And in fact, the author very well might have solved this case. We'll let him make that decision. I want to thank George Norrie, Chris Boros. I want to thank Lisa Lyon. I want to thank Tom Danheiser, who we just called TD, for giving me this opportunity to continue to come back. And I'm looking forward to the same thing in November. Pick some dates, too, coming up in December. So it looks like a couple of times a month I'll have a chance to host Coast to Coast. And that's only because of all the kind words that you all pass along. So thank you very much. Until tomorrow night, when Halloween tradition will continue on Coast to Coast, Deus Hamat, and I do, too.